couple of things here. I'm going to start with one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, and it's in Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16. And says, and as I read this, I want you to receive this into your spirit, that this is for you this day. I'm praying this for you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And today, Rich and I were invited by Pastor Vaughn to speak to you. I'm here with you in the first service, and Rich will be in the second service. And we're here just to encourage you. I know that God has given me the gift of encouragement for people. I've been doing it in women's ministries for years, and lately going into prisons, men's prisons, and God opened the door for Beacon Women's Prison. And God's kind of shown me that my job on this earth is to be an encouragement in Christ Jesus. And I want to be here to encourage you today that as we are doing some new things in this church, God wants us to move and move together as one body. One of my favorite scriptures, about 3 years ago, my life was at a point where it was a little stale, and I said, Lord, I want to know more of you. And one day I was reading the word, and in that Ephesians 3, in verse 2 to 5, it said that, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And I'm not saying up here today that I'm a prophet, but we all can have prophetic gifts. We all can hear from God and hear from his throne. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to take that word because I know your word is truth. And you said right there, when I know the power of your Holy Spirit, then I can ask you to reveal your mysteries to me, and you will do it. And so I asked him to start revealing things of him to me, and he started. One example that right away, he started showing me that my youngest son, Ricky, was going to have a car accident the day before Thanksgiving. And this was in August. And I said, okay, Lord, well, I'm going to start praying that my son will be safe that day. And so over the months, occasionally God would remind me of this, and I'd say, okay, I'll be praying for him. And I be honest with you, I actually forgot the day before Thanksgiving. And that day, I got a call at work from my son. He goes, Mom, you know those words, I'm okay, but, you know, and the but was he was in a car accident. He was with two friends, one in the front with him, one in the back, and they were kind of in a, you know, string of cars. He was in the middle between two vans, and his car was crushed and it was demolished in total. And he and his two friends, even though they were pushed together, the three of them, they did not have a hair on their head was harmed. No scratches, nothing. I mean, they were fine. And, you know, I was like, Lord, I've been praying against this. And God told me that my son, Rick, who's been backslidden, needed to be taught a lesson. So I told Rick, I said, do you know that God's had me praying for you for this particular day since August? He revealed this to me, that this was going to happen. His comment was, why then did it still happen? I said, because God wants you to know his goodness and mercy. He wants you to know that he thinks about you every day of your life, and that you have a praying mom that's not giving up on you, and that you have to know that I'm hearing from God, and that I will be praying for you for protection. And God wants you to know this is how much he loves you, that he spared you and your friends in this car accident that you should have been hurt in, but God protected you because he loves you so very much. And so God started opening the door for me to start hearing from him more and more and more. And you know what I found? It's not something that you can learn. It's a heart attitude. It's a heart-changing attitude. It's saying, yes, Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my family's lives. I trust you to order my steps. I trust you with the work that I do. I trust you in my church. I trust you to guide me on the path you order my steps. And from that day forth, I just said, okay. And you know, there's days that I flesh out. There's days, especially now in my new job, I do not want to get out of bed in the morning. You know, and it's like, but you have to just get up and say, okay, Lord. Well, I'm just reading the sign up here. I never stood up here on this side. Never, never, never give up. You know, God is saying, don't give up. Even though you're going through storms and trials and tribulations, don't give up. Just keep going and knowing that God is with you through everything that you're going through. Well, you know, God is bringing us together. It's so awesome how God has taken this little church and like tripled it in a year. God is bringing in people like we prayed from the north and the south and the east and the west, and they're coming in. And you guys are coming in with gifts and powerful gifts from the Lord. And you know, Vaughn's been talking about talents, and some of us have one talent, some two, three, four, five. And I know every single one of you has a gift and a talent that's been brought in here for a purpose for God's kingdom. And God wants to reveal that gift and use it in this place. And he's bringing us together. And one of the ways that he's doing it is through the small groups. They're going to be starting the end of April, and I'm excited about it. I've been in small groups since I got saved in 1980. And it's always been a time where I've learned, where I've been able to practice what God's been teaching me. And God wants us to get together in the small groups so that we can get to know each other and that we can move on in his spirit. You know, Vaughn's been talking about the fact that we are launching programs, that we're going to have this big launch, and he has a launch committee formed, and, you know, we'll hear about more of that in the future. But God was kind of showing me about launching, and it's kind of interesting because to launch, you know, means to set forth and to release. And I started picturing, a lot of times when you think of a launch, you think of a boat, but I started picturing a rocket ship, and, you know, it's like, my husband teaches technology, and they let off rockets. And don't ask me the scientific thing of any of this. But I kind of went on the internet, and I was looking about launching a rocket, because that's what I've been picturing. And on this rocket, we are the rockets that God is about to launch. And I don't know if you're sitting on that launching pad ready to go, but I'm sitting there ready to go. And God was showing me that he's the launching pad, that we are sitting on God the Father, and we're ready to go. And he's got us up on that launch pad straight up, and we are ready to go. And on a launch pad, there is a launch rod. And the launch rod is straight, and it's firm, and it's there to hold you up. And he showed me that that was Jesus Christ on the cross, that launch rod is holding us there on that pad, ready to go. And then, all of a sudden, it's ignited. And the ignition is the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit, who knows how far we can soar? Who knows where God can take us? Because God wants to take us to that mountaintop. He wants to take us to that highest pinnacle with him. He wants to take us upward. He wants us to go skyrocketing. I don't know about you, but that sounds exciting to me, that God wants to take us on a new level in his kingdom. So as we're going forth in his kingdom, this device, this ignition of the Holy Spirit is a flame. And I was praying for some people one day here a couple months ago, and I started seeing this blue flame. And if you know your science too, the blue flame is the hottest flame. And God is calling us. We've seen little flickers of flame all throughout Kingston and the Hudson Valley, but they haven't gotten very far. But I believe in this year we are going to see those little flames, those little sparks, start growing and growing and growing, and that we are going to have that blue flame of the Holy Spirit here in the Hudson Valley, here in Kingston. But it takes us coming together in unity, knowing that God is that flame. The Holy Spirit is that flame that wants us to launch and go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm having trouble seeing my notes because of the trifocals here, but I'm kind of messing up a little bit. But, you know, as the ignition goes up, as the ignition of the Holy Spirit goes up, it pushes forth thrust, and that thrust of the Holy Spirit is taking us to a new dimension. He's taking us to a new dimension with him. And I learned something there, that when you're going up, it's taking you on that highest speed possible to get up as far as you can go. And then when you get up there, you actually coast. And I thought, you know, usually we think of coasting as just sailing along. But in the rocket, you go up really fast, really high, and then you coast. And you're coasting up in this higher dimension. And as we're coasting, God was showing me that we are like that eagle. It doesn't take the eagle anything to do up there. You don't see him like a chicken on the ground flapping his wings trying to get off. But he gets under that thrust and he goes up to the highest place, and he is coasting at the highest pinnacles, and he's seeing things that are going on in the spirit. And God wants us to go to this higher place, but we can only do this together. God is calling us to go upward. these home groups that we are going to be doing, there's a book that Rich has been handing out to the leaders, and it's called Upward. Let me get the words in order here. Okay. It's called Upward, Inward, Outward, and Forward. And today, Vaughn had asked us to talk about going upward. And that's the thing that I like to do best, is go upward to the Holy Spirit, because I have seen God do miraculous things. I've seen healings in my life. I've seen healings in my sons, in my family members. If I stood here today and told you all the healings that I've seen, I would be here till midnight tonight just telling you of the goodness of God and His mercy and His healing power and His deliverance. He set me free from fear and shyness. And, you know, I'm still kind of shy when we meet people, but, you know, it's something that you have to overcome. It's something that you have to say, yes, Lord, in You living with me, Holy Spirit, You rise up within me so that I can do all things through You who gives me the strength. And when we're like that eagle, when we're like that eagle, we can soar and we can run and not get weary. One of my favorite scriptures and one of the first ones that kind of set me free is one that I think we all know. But I heard a teaching on it one time that took me in a new dimension too. It's Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Well, the teaching that I heard on this, that word hope, in some translations, it means to wait. And that actually means in the Greek, it means entwined as one with the Lord. God is looking for us to hope and wait upon Him. As we hope upon Him, we are entwined with Him. And you know about that cord, as you're entwined, the power and the strength that's there. God wants us entwined with Him so totally, so tight, that we can go anywhere and do anything for Him. If He calls us to speak to somebody in the supermarket, we won't have that fear because we are entwined with God, and He will give you the right words to say it. One day in the prison, I was praying for an inmate, and I didn't know what to say. And God said, well, talk to him about baseball. And I like baseball, but I don't know the ins and outs of it, and I don't know the little technical details. And I looked at this guy, and I go, you know, God's telling me that you keep going up to bat, and you're not hitting a home run, but you have the capabilities of hitting a home run. You are a designated hitter, and God wants you up at bat as a DH and get up there and start hitting that ball. And the guy started laughing at me, and he goes, Diane, I play baseball here in the prison. I said, oh, wow, cool. And he goes, guess what position I play? I said, I don't know. He goes, DH. I'm the DH here. And I said, well, you know what? God is saying it's time to get off your derriere, and it's time to start going forth and hitting that home run. And, you know, God will give you little words to encourage people, but you got to be tuned in. You got to go back to that Ephesians 3 and say, yes, Lord, You said in Your word, when I know Your spirit, I can be heard the mysteries of Your kingdom. Ask God to reveal words to you, and He will show you things. He will show you the truth, because He is the truth. And without the truth, we just are lost. But we have the truth of God, we can go forward. And when you're in that small group together, you can just work on these skills. Because sometimes, you know, in a big group like this, it's a little intimidating. You know, I was on the radio for 4 years, and it was like I never could think about the fact that there were thousands of people listening. You know, and if I thought about it, I wanted to turn the mic off. But I just pictured it one person or two people, and it wasn't bad. And you know, when I first started speaking in public, it was usually, you know, male inmates. And that was okay because, you know, like I'm kind of tough, so it was okay, you know. And I knew that they weren't going to do anything to me. And it was like the COs are sitting there. And one time it was interesting, but a CO that was Christian who recognized my voice from the radio was walking us out. And I said to him, you know, I have no fear in here. You know, God's given me peace. And it was interesting. He said, but always be on the alert. And I thought that was such a word of wisdom from God, because God wants us to be on the alert. And by being on the alert is knowing the word and knowing the little pitfalls and little traps. How many times we fall into traps in life, and God is saying, you know, okay, you know, I warned you in my word, but you didn't hear it. And God is saying it's time to know the word. And that's where we can learn the word more, in the home groups too, in the small groups. We can talk about the word. Vaughn gives us the most powerful words and teachings on the word that I've ever heard. We are blessed here. We are really blessed with hearing the word. But you know, in the home group, we can discuss it. We can talk about it. If we don't understand something in it, so many of you have vast knowledge of the word that you can share with each other. And others of us are hungry to know more of the word. And this is where we can learn and grow and teach and learn from each other. You know, God is wanting us to exchange our ability for His ability. In that same scripture, the word strength, it says, you know, that the Lord will renew our strength. That word actually means exchanging our ability for His ability. And God is calling us to lay down our ability to him and saying, yes, Lord, we want to walk with your ability. Because there's no way I could stand up here and do this today except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I might not be saying it so eloquently or whatever, but it's like I know the words that God told me to say today. I know what he told me to share with you. And I know that when I was praying about it, he said certain key things that I need to say to you today. It's from the throne room of God. It's not from me, but it's from him speaking it through me. And I pray that you hear the one key word that you need to hear. I might be talking for 45 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever. I talk real fast because I learned that on the radio. But it's like, you know, it's just the fact that one word might be key to set you free. Another inmate story, you know, I learned so much from the inmates. It's amazing. At the women's prison one week, I was there and I was talking along, and there was a woman there that was new. I'd never seen her before. And she started to weep in the back, and I wanted to say something to her, but God said, just wait, just wait. And the tears were coming down more and more and more and more. And I felt bad. I wanted to stop and go to her, and God said, wait, just wait. So I kept talking, and then I said something, and she stopped and she looked at me and she said, that's it, now I can talk. I was like, okay. And she goes, that is my scripture that you just said. And she goes, I've been backslidden from the Lord. And I came tonight because I wanted to know some truth. And I asked God for a sign. And he goes, I couldn't talk or do anything until I knew that I was, you know, God was hearing me. And you just said my scripture. You just said the scripture that set me free. And it was amazing. This woman can pray like you've never heard in your life. But the enemy had tried to rob it. The enemy tries to rob the gifts that we have. He tries to take away the life that we had because he wants to bring death. He doesn't want us to have life and life abundant. And God wants us to have that life. And this lady now, she looks so alive. And it's just so amazing. And Patty Peck's been going with me now. And she got to see this woman. And this woman, she will attest, this woman can pray. I've asked her to pray for me because this woman prays in the power of the Spirit. But the enemy tried to rob her. What I'm seeing in most of the prisoners that we meet, the enemy tried to rob them. They had gifts that God had given them. And it was like, no way did the enemy want them sharing the gifts. And God is doing that to us too, only, you know, we haven't gotten caught or whatever, but God has taken us to a new dimension. Well, you know, they say that lying is a baddest sin as murder, you know? So all of us have been right up there with the murderers and like that. And I just have to say that God really showed me and has been teaching to me through these men and women about the power of God and how the enemy has tried to rob life from us. But God wants us to have life and life abundant. God wants to take us on those high places. Another scripture that I really like is, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. God wants us to go on the heights with him. There was one time Rich and I were driving on 209. We had gotten, this is several years ago, my dad had given us an old car of his. It was a Ford Torino. I know you young people won't know what a Ford Torino is, but all of you that are closer to my age know that Ford Torino is like a huge boat. It's huge. And Rich was driving it ahead of me, and I was behind him, and all of a sudden I saw a deer come out on the side of the road, and this deer pushed up from its hind feet and literally flew over the car. I mean, it was so high. I've never seen anything in my entire life. And I can still see that the deer's just soaring over him. And then whenever I read this scripture, it makes me picture that deer that I saw that just pushed up from the hind feet and did it with ease. And God is saying today that he just wants us to give that push, that extra effort, and know that God is going to have us soaring like that deer. That, you know, I tell the inmates, you can scale a wall, just watch out for the barbed wire. You know, it's like, you got to just know that you can go that higher place with God. You can soar. You can scale that wall. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength if you allow him, the Holy Spirit, to rise up within you. We need God. We really need him. So many of us have mountains in our lives that need to come down. I have mountains in my life, things I'm struggling with. I know that we all have mountains in our lives. But you know what? God wants us to climb those mountains. He wants us to get up there on the top and overcome those mountains in our life. He wants us to go from strength to strength, from mountaintop to mountaintop, and know his highest calling in our lives, because he has a high calling for all of us. I believe that every day, someday, every one of you is going to be getting up here and sharing your testimony, sharing things that God's given you. And I was preparing for this. God has been showing me so much lately, and when I wasn't working at the radio station anymore, I was like, God, who am I going to tell all this stuff that you are showing me? And God just said, be patient. You know, the doors will open and things will happen. And so I'm waiting upon him and I'm trusting him. It's not always easy to wait on him for things that you want in your life and things that you need. But when you trust him, he will let you coast in his spirit. And I'll tell you, these last few months that I haven't been working where I want to be working, I've been seeing more in the spirit than I've ever seen. But it's because I've been coasting in that higher place with God. And I know that I want to see you coasting there with me, that together, when we get together in the small groups, we are going to do some mighty coasting together. There's going to be times that we cry together. You know, there's heartaches in our lives, things that we go through with our children, with our families, losses. To me, losing my job was like losing a loved one. I loved my job so much, it was traumatic. I felt like it was a divorce. I felt like, okay, I don't want you anymore, you're gone, and I didn't see it coming, and it was painful. But it was my brothers and sisters in Christ that helped me get through this. It was the saints praying for me and saying, God has a bigger plan for you. It was encouragement. And God wants you to be encouraged this day that whatever you're going through, he will take you through it, and he will be by your side and never leave you and never forsake you. In the home groups, God was telling me this little phrase, to know and to grow. And one thing is when you get to know one another, I've been put in groups before over the years, and you know, you look at the list of people and you go, well, I don't know anybody. I'm not sure if I like that person. You know, you look at the list of people and you're not sure if that's the group you want to go to. But you know, when you get there and you get to meet the people that you didn't think that you would want to know, you fall in love with these people. And you know, and you meet people all ages and with all different personalities, and God puts you together. And Vaughn said something recently to me, or not to me, but here once about, you know how so many times we say, well, I love that person, but I don't have to like him. You know, and God's been showing me, you know what, we do have to like people. You know, and it's a call to like something about everybody. You know, sometimes someone might irritate us, but if they do, start praying about it and asking God to show you something that's likable about this person, because there's something likable about all of us. You know, it's like today, you know, if there's somebody that's been bothering you, just ask the Lord to show me something good about that person, and he will show you. God wants us to be entwined together. He wants us to be a mighty, powerful place for the kingdom of God here in Kingston. God is calling us as a church. He's bringing us together. He's bonding us together. And we got to go get over the fact that sometimes we think we don't like somebody, because God wants us to like and love everybody. And you know, I have such love for these inmates. And some of these guys are just like, don't quote me, but just like big, ugly guys, you know. And it's like, but you look at them and you get to know them. And I can't think about the fact that what they did, and I'm a firm believer, if you do the crime, you do the time, you know, and the guys know that I feel that way. But you know what? You start to get to know them as people, as human beings. And you just can't help to fall in love with them. And it's because the power of the Holy Spirit. When we walk into these prisons, I love these people. And I can't, you know, if I was to really think about it with my brain, I would think, why do I love these people? But with the love of God in your heart, you can't help but love these people. You can't help but start seeing things about them that you like, you know. And God wants us to start liking and loving each other in this place. He wants us to go on an adventure together. You know, I used to be scared of flying, and I just, one day, God said, don't you want to go on adventures? And it's like, yeah, I do. And it was kind of like, well, just get over it. I'm with you. I never leave you. I never forsake you. And you know what? You're in a win-win situation. If you die, you're going to heaven, and so you win. And if you get on that place and go where you're going, you're a winner too. So we are a winner in life and in death when we know Jesus. We are a winner all the time because of Christ Jesus on the cross for us. And God wants you to know this day that you are a winner. No matter what you're going through in your life, you are a winner because you have Jesus Christ. One of my favorite scriptures, you know, there's so many, is the chapter of Joshua. And our oldest son is named Joshua. And, you know, he has a testimony and a half. I mean, I could be here for a long time talking about our Joshua. And he was home last night. He makes appearances now and then, and he was sitting there. And actually, he's a Marine now, and he just finished the police academy. He's sitting there watching some Marine videos on my computer, and I was kind of going through my notes and just rewriting it so I could read it. And I go to him, oh, I'm writing about Joshua right now. And he's heard this when he was little, but he's not gone to church in a while. Even though I know he knows God exists, he believes in God, He just has chosen not now to walk the walk. And I said to him, you know, I'm writing about Joshua right now. I said, I love Joshua. And I said, you are named after a powerful man. And I said, you know what? God had a plan for your life. He knew that you would be a Marine. He knew that you were going to be in the police department. And he knew these things. And in Joshua, it says to be bold and courageous. And to be a Marine, you have to be bold and courageous. And it says in this, I read all of Joshua 1 out loud to him. And he just sat there and he stopped typing and he stopped listening to the video on the computer. And he was listening. And he didn't say anything. And I said, in the last part of it, I said, God will go with you wherever you go. And I said, Josh, you might not be going to church right now, but you know that I'm praying for you, your dad's praying for you, and God is going with you wherever you go because I'm praying that for you. God was with him in boot camp. He struggled. He liked boot camp. He liked some of that torture, but it was like the running was hard for him, and he had to pass a certain running, I forget how long it was, and he was worried about it, and he kept writing to us, pray for me, pray for me. And, you know, for Josh to write, pray for me, that was like, oh, wow. You know, we were praying for him. And Josh's grandfather had gone to heaven a couple years ago, and Josh just adored his grandfather. He's actually got a tattoo with an Italian flag that says Grandpa on it. And, you know, what can I say? He loves his grandfather. And his grandfather was a mighty man of God. His grandfather knew the Lord. Long story short, his grandfather was given 2 months to live by Sloan Kettering. People prayed for him, and he lived 22 more years. You know, so we've seen miracles in our lives. And Josh said when he was running that race in the Marines that day, he said he looked up and he saw God and Grandpa sitting in a tree. And, you know, that sounds kind of weird to us, but, you know, it says there's a cloud of witnesses in the Bible. And he knew that God and his grandfather were looking over him as he was running, and he passed that race. And so when I was reading Joshua 1 to him last night, he just didn't say anything, and I was proclaiming it over him. And I said, Josh, you are bold and courageous. You are called by God. And I said to him, you know what Joshua did? He crossed that River Jordan. He went over there because he had seen the giants there and the other people chickened out, but not that Marine Joshua. He just went over that River Jordan. He didn't care about the giants because he knew the promised land and he knew the fruit that was there. And I said, Josh, you were named that for a purpose because you're not afraid to go over that river. You're not afraid to cross it. And you know, in the springtime is when the River Jordan rises. And they were going to cross over it then. And it was interesting. I was kind of studying about crossing over, and it was interesting because it said we prepare to cross over into a new season of growth and inheritance. And God was showing me as the Kingston Vineyard, as we move into our new building, that we are in a season of growth and inheritance, that the inheritance that has been for us as a people is going to be coming forth because of the prayers of the saints, that God has heard our prayers. It's been a long time that we've been praying for this place, but God has heard them, and he's pouring forth the growth that I believe I've seen in the Spirit, that our building is going to be filled very quickly, that we're going to need a bigger place. And, you know, God is going to keep growing us and growing us, but you got to catch the fire. You got to be that rocket ship and be ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that as you're ignited, that power, that flame is going to get blue in this area. Because I've been praying with Women's Aglow Women for this area for 20 years. And we are believing that God is moving in this place. The pastors have been coming together on Thursday mornings, and they like each other now. For years, they didn't like each other. And these pastors of all different denominations are coming together like each other. They're praying together, and they're ignoring their little differences in theology and saying, yes, that's a man of God. You know how Vaughn always says how people have helped us out during the flood time? Well, they really like each other now, and they support each other, and the churches are coming together and supporting each other, and that's what God is calling. And as a body, we need to come together and support each other, and that's how we can do it in the small groups when we get to know each other. God was saying, too, this crossing over actually means coming out of hibernation. And I thought that was really interesting because it said out of hibernation, we come out. Bears come out of hibernation because their spirit, they're hungry. And God wants us to come out of hibernation, come out of the cold, and come into the fire of the Holy Spirit because we are spiritually hungry. We are hungry for more and more and more and more. And if I have to keep saying that to you to impart that into your spirit, God wants you to be spiritually hungry for more and more and more in your lives. And being in the small groups, you can start expressing some of that. Where sometimes it's hard in a group like this to express how you're feeling. There's something God has shown you and you want to share it with somebody. You know, I can't wait to share the things that God shows me with people sometimes. And we come together and we get to know each other and we love each other. you know, we had a small home group at Patty Zelmer's house, and we got to know each other and love each other and care about each other, and we're there. I know those people that were in that group. Anytime I have a need, I know I can call them, and they'll pray for me, and they'll be there for me and support me. And that's what God is wanting. He wants us to cross over, and it also said to move from one dimension of promise to the next. Isn't that awesome? That by crossing over the Jordan River, by going into new territory, territory that we might be scared of, guess what? We're going into a new dimension of promise. Isn't that amazing how it's new promises that we're willing to take? It's like a spiritual revolution. I've been reading a book on spiritual revolution, and when I think of revolution, I think of the earth twirling, you know, and it's not actually that. Revolution is actually change. And God is saying that in this time of spiritual revolution, there's change coming, and we got to move with the change. Now, not all change is good, because I know if someone gets cancer, that change in your life is not good. But when you're seeking God and the changes of Him, and you know and you have confirmation and you know that it's Him and you hear Him, that spiritual revolution is a good thing. And God is calling us as a people to rise up off of our seats, to come out of hibernation and say, yes, Lord, I want to be part of the spiritual revolution. And I just hope that people are saying, yes, I'm hearing you today. I'm hearing that God wants me to move to that higher dimension. Now, I was really excited today with one of the songs that Elaine was playing about amazing and going up to the mountaintop, because I saw so clearly that God wants us to go to the mountaintop and that He wants us to do amazing things. And the scripture that God has laid on my heart for weeks now is Joshua 3:5. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. God wants to do amazing things among us. He wants to do things in our lives. He wants to use our lives. He wants to use you, each and every one of you. You might think you're a nobody. You know, at one time, you know, I don't like this part, you know, Lisa and I had the same surgery, and she likes to tell her testimony and show her fat picture. I don't like to. It's like, to me, it's like a painful past. Like, let's leave that back there. But, you know, there was a time in my life I weighed 350 pounds, and I had high blood pressure and diabetes and arthritis really bad and heel spurs and you name it. But during that time, my glow sisters kept saying, you can do it, Diane. Come on, you can do it. And I started speaking in places, and I was ashamed of how I looked. But you know what? It was the heart attitude of God that was coming through. I had to lay down the fact that I was ashamed of what I looked like, and to know that the power of God rose up within me and I could speak the things that God was telling me to do. So I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are, that God can use you no matter what you're going through in your life. When we had to read that book of Galatians, you know, I love a challenge, and like, okay, and I can read fast, and, you know, I read it in 16 minutes plus taking notes, but I'm not bragging on that. And when I read that, I learned some things again. And Paul came and taught a message when he wasn't feeling well. He said, I'm teaching this message with illness. And in my little footnote, it said they didn't quite sure what illness he had. It could have been the thorn in his side. It could have been some other malaria or something like that. But he was preaching even with an illness. And, you know, when I used to preach with all the weight and the high blood pressure and stuff, I used to think, am I a hypocrite? But I thought, no, you know what? I know the power of God. I know the love of God in my life. And I want to express that love to other people. And I'm trusting God for healing in my life. I was afraid to have the gastric bypass because I was afraid of death. I was afraid to do it. And one day God just said, have faith in me, trust in me. And all of a sudden it changed. And I said, okay, Lord, if you want to have me to have it, open the doors. And the door got open, another one, another one, another one. And I had it, and I lost 170 pounds. And it was awesome. Everything was healed that was wrong in my body. No more diabetes, no more high blood pressure. I take no medications now except for vitamins. And, you know, it's a massive healing in my life. Now, I'm still struggling. You know, Vaughn's been talking about the brokenness we have. I have trouble exercising, and I've regained a couple pounds, and I don't want to gain any more. But you know what? I need you to help me keep on the track with this. That's the area in my life I struggle with because I don't like exercise. No more chocolate. I know. I need deliverance from chocolate, you know. But don't. Okay, this is a true confession. My name is Diane Caliendo, and I am a chocoholic. Okay, I think y'all knew it anyways, because whenever Vaughn makes a chocolate joke, you know who he looks at, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. So, But we all have things we struggle with. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And of course, God is the center. Jesus is the center. The Holy Spirit is the center. We center that. I've been telling the guys, who's the center of your universe lately? I go, are you the center of your universe? Or is God the center of your universe? Is it how you feel? That me-itis thing? Me, me, me? Me not feeling good today. You know, me have a headache. Me tired. Me, you know, whatever. Me doesn't like that thing or whatever. But, you know, is it God the center of the universe? Who is the center of your universe in your life? And God wants us to be having him as the center. You know, this thing with the consecration. Consecration is making holy and it's getting ready. And it's funny, one time when I was on the radio, these inmates, they're sharp. And when I started to meet them, they would remember the little tidbits of things that I just barely, you know, just said. And one time I had said something on the air about trying to be holy. And I got a letter like a couple days later. And the inmate said to me, Diane, you don't try to be holy. It says in Scripture, be holy. And you know what? That convicted me. The fact that God wants us to be holy. He wants our thought patterns to be right. He wants us to think according to his thoughts. And if thoughts come in that aren't of him, we're to lay them down immediately. Of course, the enemy tries to come in and put the wrong thoughts. He wants to tell you you're no good. He wants to tell you that you can't accomplish anything. He wants to put thoughts that are impure in your mind, and they happen to all of us, but we're supposed to catch it immediately, say, no, Lord, no, Lord, I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You know, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am the head and not the tail, and he wants us to start thinking Scripture, but you can't think it unless you learn it and read it. And, you know, I've been learning it and reading it. I want to learn more. When I first got fired last June, the first thing the Lord said to me, take this time and start learning. And so I started reading more and reading more books and been learning other things too. I've been learning about grant writing and learning about the computer and stuff like that. And God said, just keep learning. God wants us to be a people of learning, a people of not giving up, a people of saying, I want to know more about you, Lord. I want to know everything about you. I want to know every facet about you. And God said today that he wants you to learn everything about him, to trust him, and to know that he cares about every single thing in your life. He cares about your feelings, your hurts. He gave us emotions. He knows that we're going to hurt sometimes. He knows that we're lonely sometimes and we get depressed sometimes, but he doesn't want us to camp there. He doesn't want us to set up a tent and stay there and say, okay, this is where I'm staying and I'm not going because I'm having a bad day. He said, no, it's time to pull up the tent pegs. It's time to come out. It's time to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow after you all the days of my life. Doesn't matter the fact I have a job I hate right now. Doesn't matter the fact I have sit there at Bank of America all day long and listen to those computer keys. It doesn't matter. I hate my job. You want to know that? I'm reclaiming it right now. I hate it. I can't stand it. And I was getting miserable going there every day to Bank of America, you know, and it was like looking at everybody's taxes and numbers. And I can't, I'm a really good typist. I learned to type in high school, which was many years ago, you know, the right way. And I'm a good typist, but they have to use this little keypad. And I can't do that. And so this is my finger. And you know, it smokes sometimes, but it gets so tired. And it's like, I hate this job. And I hated getting, Rich will tell you in the morning, I don't want to get up. And I was never like that before. It was like, oh, I'm going to work. I loved my job before. And now, it's funny, and I said to Rich, now I know what all the people in the world that don't like going to work feel like, you know? And it's like, I don't want to get up. And finally, one day I said, Lord, you know, I was telling the inmates, I go, I feel like I'm in prison. It's just like you guys. Okay, it's 9:30, you can go to the bathroom now. And okay, it's 12:30, go eat your lunch. Okay, it's 2:30, you can take a break, you know? 4 o'clock, and they actually tell you that at Bank of America. They tell you, it is now 9:30, you may go take your break, you know, and they announce it, and the people go there, don't they think we know it's 9:30 and we want to take our break, but that's what they do, and so for lunch, by the time you punch out, and you go walk in, and if you microwave something and sit down, you really only have 15 minutes to eat, and you got to get back, and I've been feeling like, Lord, I'm wasting my time, I want to be doing stuff for you, and finally, I just said, Lord, use this 15 minutes to do something. And now all of a sudden, the Lord brought a girl, 24, who happened to know my son in high school. She's tattooed and she's pierced. But when she heard I was Josh Caliendo's mom, she was like, oh, and she turned all red. And I guess she had a crush on him in high school. And it was like, so she sat with me. And then she started telling me that she sleeps with her boyfriend. She does this. And she just had a miscarriage. She was miserable. And I said, well, you know, God can help you. And I started talking about Jesus to her. And now she goes, I want to sit with you every day. And so she comes. And then the lady that was next to me, she's a salty old lady. I'm hearing words that I didn't want to hear. And it's like, and you know, you want to say something, like, please don't say those words, but you don't want to offend them. And I want to be a blessing. And now she wants to sit with me at lunch. And I've been and she's been telling me about her problems. And I'm saying, well, you know, God can really help you through this. And it's 15 minutes a day that I get to witness these people. But I'm seeing these people. All of a sudden, people want to sit with me at lunch. And, you know, it's not me, Diane Caliendo. It's the Holy Spirit and it's Jesus within me that's attracting these people. And I still don't like to get up in the morning. And I still don't like to go to Bank of America. And if anybody knows a good job, let me know. But it's like... But you know what? God is using my time now. And I got permission. I'm really slow with this finger, actually. And they at Bank of America, they let you use a Walkman once you get to a certain speed. And I, listening to those keys all day just drive me crazy. It really does. And I thought, I'll never get to the speed that they want me to. And my seatmate goes, just go ask her. Maybe she'll let you. And so I went over and I said, look, I know that my speed's not good, but... You know, I'm so distracted by the noise and stuff like that. I said, I think I would type faster if I could use my Walkman. And she goes, okay, you can use it. And actually, it's because she knows I keep a stash of chocolate in my purse. And she comes and she always says, Diane, do you have any chocolate today? And so, but it paid off. She likes me. And so I started using my Walkman. And I have to listen to upbeat music and tap in my feet. And I'm like, ooh, you know. Typing into the beat, and I'm praising God in my head the whole time, and it's changed. And so if you're struggling too, it's time to start praising God and letting Him come into your life. You know, I'm going to end in just a couple minutes, if you can, like Vaughn would say, give me a little more liberty here, you know, and, you know, it's like, because God, don't laugh at me. Josh, can you just take that little part out of the tape? And anyways, it's like, God told me one thing for you guys, because one thing I always do for the inmates when we go on Saturdays or Sundays, when we go, I say, Lord, what do you have for the guys today or the girls? You know, is there something you have? And sometimes it's just a phrase or a scripture or something. And so I ask God, what do you want for the people today? And this was kind of strange when I first heard it. He goes, I want them to want it, weave it, and work it. And I said, what, God? He goes, I want them to want it, weave it, and work it. I said, okay, I got to think about that one. And I started praying, and he was just showing me that we have to want it. Do you want it? Do you want the things of God? How badly do you want the power and presence of God? Do you want it? You know, to me, that's a no-brainer. It's like, yes, I want it. I want all of you, God. But some of us, I was in a time in my life where I didn't know how badly I wanted it. But how badly do you want breakthrough in your life? I want breakthrough in my life. I want to see both of my sons walking with the power of God that God intended them to walk in. I want to see, you know, I want to be doing ministry full time, and I'm waiting for God to open the door. I need a breakthrough. How badly do you want it? Do you want it? God wants us to just pursue Him in any way possible that's given to us. We have opportunities in this church. We have, I'm sorry, I get the name mixed up, but Gas and Break on Wednesdays. I can never remember if it's the gas or the break, but I don't know. I need more gas to keep going, you know? And it's like, okay, it's all gas. And it's like, we got all gas on the Wednesday nights. And, okay. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Except Rich knows me too well, so he knows the other side too. But, you know, it's like... But we have an opportunity. That has been awesome on Wednesday nights. And if you're not coming, you're missing something big time. I'll tell you that. And we also have, we've had the Supper's Eighth, but they were awesome. I got to meet and know people that I didn't know before. And I love those people I met at Supper's Eighth. They were awesome. We've got so many things. Vaughn's teaching on Monday nights is superb. If you're missing that, you're missing out. And you know something? Patty Peck and I have been leading a prayer meeting for this church, and not that I want to get down your case, but for a couple years it was just the two of us. And then Stacy started coming, and it was the three of us. And now we're meeting at the church, and it's like five or six or seven of us. But you know what? God, if you want to hear God's presence and power, it's time to get together as a praying church too. How do you think we're going to move higher in the Spirit but be a praying church? God is calling us to be a praying people and doing it together. One can put 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. Can you imagine if every one of us in this room were praying together what could happen in the spirit realm? I'm just amazed. Those angels and demons would be fighting. Those angels would have the victory more and more and more. We would see that victory because God has called us. I went to a meeting once where Vaughn was there, and he had a prophetic word, and I think I was the only one from the church that was there, because it was actually in a glow thing that he came with us, and it was maybe 2 years ago. And he had a prophetic word that he was given the sword over this area, and that he was to raise that sword high over this area, because God is opening up the heavenlies in this place, that the dark cloud is going and that it's being raised and the power of God is coming and God is using our pastor. Why do you think the attack has been so great on his life? It's because God wants to use him in power and might in this place. And God is calling us as parishioners in this church to pray for him, to pray for his family, to be there for him, to encourage him. Once in a while, if he says something we don't like or one of those jokes that sometimes we don't get because we're not English, you know what? God is calling us to love him, to pray for him, to encourage him. And if we do have a problem, just to go to him and talk to him nicely. You know, that's what God is calling us to do, to support one another, to support our pastor, to just love each other. And it's going to start in the home groups, in the small groups. So God said that he wants to pour forth the breaker anointing in this place. And God is the breaker. God is the one that's going to go before us. There's a scripture in Micah, if I can find it here. Micah 16:20, it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. God went through the gate first. He pushed open the gate for us. The gate is open in this area. The gate has been opened wide. Are you going to walk through the gate now? Are you going to run through it? I'm ready to run through it with the power of that rocket ship to go through the gate to see what God has on the other side for us, because he has good things for us. And I'm not saying that we're not going to go through trials and tribulations. It says in the Bible that we will go through trials and tribulations, but we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and our word of our testimony. I know when I speak forth the testimony about how my son was in the gang and how God set him free. You know, I prayed a godly man to come into my son's life, and he brought a Marine sergeant. What can I say? But that Marine Sergeant got my son on the right path. He got him to want to follow honor and integrity, semper fi, always faithful. God wants us always faithful in this place. And now my son is open to hearing about God. I'm still praying for my other son. He's going through a health problem right now, but I believe that God is going to draw him closer unto him, and that we're going to see the victory in Christ Jesus. If we don't believe it, we're not going to see it. And God wants us to believe it so we do see it. And where's the faith? God, you know, when I was telling Vaughn the fact that the new job I have, I'm making less than half than what I was making before. And God said, and Vaughn was saying through God, it was like, you know, we just have to tighten our belts that God is going to be away. Let's have faith and trust and see. I decided to only work 4 days a week at Bank of America, which is a good thing because I need a rest in the middle. Because I want to do things for God on Wednesdays, still do my Women's Glow and stuff like that. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you to supply the money that I'm not making on Wednesdays because I'm doing stuff for you. And I had a dream. I had a dream that people started handing me 50s and 100s. And I was like, oh, God, that was a good dream, you know. But, you know, that following week at a Glow, a lady that I don't know very well handed me an envelope. And I said, what's this? And she goes, oh, God told me to give it to you. I opened up. It was a $50 bill. I was like, wow. I said, why did you do this? And she said, God told me. And I said, well, I told her about my dream, and I said, you are the first one. And all of a sudden, I started getting 50s and 100s. And I won, Linda Doig's not here, but I'll tell her later. You know, I won her little Mary Kay contest, and I had bought $50 worth of lipsticks and stuff. And at the time, I thought, well, I shouldn't spend that money. But I thought, well, I want to bless Linda. And I won her little thing, and it was worth 50 bucks, you know? And God is faithful. Now, I did have a dream last night. I want to share it with you real quick, because I woke up a little, like, burdened. And it might have been because I was praying about the mountaintop and things like that, but I had a dream last night. When I woke up this morning, this dream, I was working at a radio station. It wasn't Sound of Life. It looked totally different. It was a big building, and I know it was a radio station. It had big windows. And I saw a plane coming in, and the plane in the distance crashed, and there was a big fire. And I was like, ooh, you know, that's so awful. All of a sudden, I saw another plane come in and purposely go into a building. And then another one, and go into another building, and I saw planes all coming in the sky, going different places, and we really felt that the radio station was going to be a target, and that we needed to get out of there. And it was kind of a long dream, and I don't have time to go into all the details, but it was scary. And I saw these planes that kept coming all over the place, and just coming in, and one actually just, we were praying, and one was coming at the radio station, and it kind of did a funny stall thing, and it missed, and it went over into a building that was next to us. And we were hearing the Lord, get out of here now. You got to get pack your bag and get out. And so I had a little tote bag there, and I threw some stuff. I don't know why I had stuff there, but I had some stuff and things. Yeah, that was actually there too. And my cat was there, so I put my cat on a leash. And I was with a friend of mine. Her name is Elaine, and it's funny because she's like one of my closest friends, and she always thought her name was unique, and now there's three Elaines here in the church. But, you know, it's my friend Elaine and I were going, and everybody was going towards the city, and God was saying, don't go to the city. That's where the planes are going to go. And God was saying, go up to the mountains. You got to go to the mountains. And she and I were walking, we're telling people, go to the mountains. You got to go to the mountains. And people are like, no, it's safer in the city. We got to go to the city. And she and I were walking, and we're starting to go up a mountain, and we're saying, come on, the mountain with us. And people were saying no. And when I woke up, I told Rich the dream. I said, do you think that's prophetic? And, you know, I don't know what it was, but it could have been because my mind was on the mountains. But I felt like I had to share it today because God is telling you it's a choice this day. Do you want to go on the mountains or do you want to die in the city? You know, it's like, or have life on the mountaintop. And God wants us to go up there. The want it, weave it, and work it, the weaving is coming together. You know, when we had World War II, the Allies came together, and we were able to have victory. And the Allies, they spoke different languages. It was different countries that came together. They didn't always agree on everything, but they came together to beat and defeat the enemy. And God is saying we may all be different colors, different walks of life, different ages, whatever, but God is calling us to be woven together. You know, when a basket is woven, it becomes strong. It can hold things. God wants us to weave together and come together mightily for his kingdom. And then he says, work it. Work it. It's, being a Christian is work. It's work to take time and read the Bible. It's work to take time and pray. And it's study to get to know the Bible. But if we don't make an effort, if we don't work it, we're not going to win. So God said today, want it, weave it, and work it. You know, he wants us to want it so badly that we can't even bear it. He wants us to weave together with our brothers and sisters so we'll be strong to take the enemy down. We can come together. We will see victories. And he wants you to work it. He wants you to say, yes, Lord, I'll work it for you. I'll do it for you. I will be with you. I will follow you all the days of my life. I won't give up. I will be with you. And the place to start it is in the small group. So if I say anything today that encourage you, you know, we're going to have lists with small groups, and you might look at it and say, well, I don't know those people. I won't be comfortable. Guess what? God doesn't want us comfortable anymore. He wants us off the couch. He wants us to get up and start doing for him. So many times I watch people, some of the inmates in the prison, they get great praise and worship, and they just sit there. So I like to get on people, their cases. It's fun with them. I'll say, what are you guys doing? Just sitting there. You know, David danced before the Lord. When we go to Shuangdong now, these guys will play things specifically so that we can dance. They have been letting loose in the power of the Spirit because we've been encouraged in them to get up, get off the couch, and start moving for God. So that's what God calling us today is, you know, on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whenever your home group is, you might not feel like going, but I guarantee it. When you come home, you're going to say, yes, I'm glad I went because I know more of you today, God, and I know more of my brothers and sisters, and together we're going to make it in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen.